I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scaling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 40, coming off the epic homecoming win over Ithaca, and looking ahead to the Buffalo State Bengals Saturday, 3 o'clock on WEOS. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back and congratulations.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it.
I don't even know where to start, but I'm going to start with this. Your mom on the field with you tossing the coin.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, she's a member of the Thrive to Survive, which is a group, awesome organization that does a lot for cancer patients and the families that are going through, obviously, that struggle. So my mom's been fighting cancer for a handful of years, and I always say if I can be as tough or as strong and resilient as her, I'm even half as tough and strong as her, I'll be in good shape. She's amazing, and she was able to be out there. They did it last year, actually, against the Buff State in the Buffalo State game for the home game. And then this year she was out there, and I joked around with her when we won the coin toss. I said it was all downhill from there, Mom. She kind of set us up for the victory. So love her to death, and it was awesome being out there. And obviously I was dialed in, focused on the game, but just a great moment to be out there with her as she continues her battle.
Ithaca takes the opening kickoff. They drive 16 plays inside the one. You stop them, one of four fourth down stops, one of two fourth inside the one stops. They ran eight plays in goal to go and gained 11 yards.
Yeah, just amazing when you think about it. Like, I love the resilience and the fight the defense showed all game long, but to have that will to say, you know, you got to earn every inch. And, you know, there's a sense of pride. There's a obviously a toughness that goes into that too, but our defense put their back against the wall and said you weren't going to get in, and not to only do it once but to do it twice was pretty impressive. And just think about the start of the game there. You know, what does that mean? You know, if Ithaca scores and goes up 7-0, you know, still a long game ahead of us, but those points are huge. But there's the momentum, and then the ability, you know, we're backed up, and the offense was backed up with a bunch for good reason. A couple times was the defensive stops, a couple were like some punts that got in there, and just not, you know, being able to be flustered. I think all three phases, we work on it all week long in terms of being backed up offensively, special teams being backed up. And I know we'll talk about Vicente's punt here in a second, but defensively, I just was really proud of the effort. And again, I say, I think that's a combination of the defensive staff doing a great job preparing our guys for those moments. And we spend a lot of time. They call it dead zone because they don't want teams to score. We call it score zone because obviously we want the green light to go score. But a huge part of our offense and defense is being really strong in those areas. Our defense to be able to force teams to either kick a field goal attempt or to come away with 0 points. You know, 7 versus 3 versus 0, those points add up. And then obviously on the other side of it, offensively, we want to be kicking extra points more than we're kicking field goals, but you got to make sure we get points in there. And, you know, there's a lot of stats in the flow of a game, but, you know, we were 4 for 4 in the score zone, and they were 1 for 3. And I think those points, you know, in what could have been a really close game were significant. So great job by our defense, and I applauded them. I said that was an impressive showing, not to just do it once, but to do it twice backed up.
There's a saying in sportscasting, one of the reasons we do it is because you never know what you're going to see on a field. And of all the things I expected to see at 1:13 p.m. last Saturday, it was Vicente Lyon backed up 9 yards deep, doesn't have his full 15, and just puts that football into orbit. 86 yards, the longest punt at any level of football, college or NFL, this year. That might have been ball game right there. I mean, that, what a game turner. They punted back to you, and you get a drive start at the plus 36. You got 63 yards in field position on one exchange of punts.
Yeah, that's special teams being special. And that was the challenge that we had for the last couple of weeks, trying to tighten up some things from the protections, the coverage. But it goes back to our punters and kickers, especially with Vicente and Toby being two older guys. We think that they can be really good, and they were really good in that game for the most part. And Vicente, I've seen some great punting, but in terms of clutch punting, changing the field position, really just keeping them. I mean, that whole, I mean, we go down, obviously, after we get the stop and we score 7-0, like what a 14-point swing that could have been. And I think that goes from the defensive stop to the punt to the offense then converting. And again, I know when we're able to whip, you know, play all three phases in the way that we did there, that was a crucial part early in the game to get off to a strong start. And there's a reason why Vicente got the game ball, you know. And sometimes one play or two plays can make a difference, but it wasn't just that punt. To average 65 yards for his four punts, you know, he did a fantastic job all game long, but that one right there, that was a crucial one.
And then, of course, on the other side, they go for the fake punt. How often do you see a fake punt where the pass is complete and the play doesn't make it, thanks to Chris Toomba?
It was really good, and I think Coach Schaefer has done a fantastic job in that special team unit. We're an aggressive team. We go after it, so teams are going to ultimately try this, and we practice all week long. We've said as our defense is playing strong, some teams are going to try to find a way to get an extra possession or steal field position one way or the other. And we talked about the more disciplined team was going to win, and that was something we echoed on Thursday and Friday. And kudos to again here's senior Chris Toomba not taking a play off. Not only does he drive on it and then makes the tackle right beforehand. That's where I said to me we missed an opportunity offensively. But as good as that stop was, we had a couple plays right away where we could have converted that into points and we didn't, and that kind of kept it at a 10-0 game where I thought we could have put it to a 17-0, which would have been a huge jump start for our defense. But ultimately, really pleased with that performance. And again, when I say the special teams, that's a big stop right there. But defensive personnel, but it's still a special teams play.
I thought Chris Toomba played as good a game as I've seen ever from a defensive back. He made two really stellar pass breakups where it was going to be a catch and a big play, and he played the perfect technique and pulled the ball out.
Yeah, he was close to getting our game ball. He was our defensive player along with Anthony Romano. We had a handful of guys that played well, but Chris had a handful, not only, as you just said, pass breakups, but he had a couple open field tackles on their best player where it's one-on-one in open space, and he was able to make those tackles. So really good to see because, I think for him as a senior, especially to the field, some teams of the past couple weeks have been attacking the boundary a little bit more. Some teams have tried to get him with some double moves, but his discipline was really good. And then both the playing the ball in the air, which was a focus from us we talked about earlier in the year, our DBs are continuing to get better playing the balls in the air. And then the other part is like the open field tackling. If it does get past our defensive line, our linebackers, that our DBs are there to able to make those open field tackles are huge.
Linebackers, I counted 51 tackles. Bliss had 16, I think, or Romano had 16, Bliss had 14. I mean, those guys were just flying around the field. There was one play, and you probably had a good look because it happened right in front of you, where Romano was 20 or 25 yards off the ball and just flew to the ball and stood a guy up, and I think Cash and Young helped finish him.
Yeah, I think our guys, we talked about it, like some of the the stats didn't always show out against Keystone and whatnot because of just the style of play and whatnot, but I think our best players typically play best in those big games, and Romano, Bliss, a lot of those linebackers, they were playing well, and I think that's going to be a key for us going forward is that as we play bigger and bigger games, can our best players step up and play well? That's actually one of the things the last 2 years, maybe even against Ithaca, our best guys didn't always perform our best in that game, where I thought for the most part, especially on the defense side of the ball, our guys played really well.
I said going into that game, and every once in a while I'm right with one of these things, that if Williams Mahler didn't have a 30-yard play, you'd win. He had, I think, a 26- or 7-yard kickoff return, and that was it. Was that a big factor in the defensive game plan, is don't let him run free?
Yeah, we tried not to give him a ton of touches. He's a really good player, and I think for us, we just wanted to make sure that he was going to get his touches regardless, but we wanted to make sure that in the kicking game, we weren't going to necessarily give them easy ones. And then, defensively, I do a really good job swarming to him, game tackling. And he's a really good player. You saw he made some guys miss. And he still got his yards productivity-wise. But without a doubt, he's one of the better players that we're going to face this year, we think. And, obviously, we go week to week. We'll see how it looks. But he's a great athlete. He's been productive through his career. And we had a lot of respect for him.
Toby Weffering had a difficult start to his season. You stuck with him, and when he needed him most, he had three big field goals.
Yeah, 3 for 3 on his field goals and some key locations on our kickoffs that we were trying to kick it away from one of their better players. I think we had a couple opportunities where we would have loved to get a touchdown. I think we had some plays that we could have executed a little bit better, or we missed on some things. Some of those were with our backup quarterback in, and we just was off on some of the throws. But getting those 3 points each time was crucial because it eventually then forced it to a 2-possession game, which ultimately then changed how their offense could attack our defense. So that was why I thought that possession right after the fake punt, when we were up 10-0, we had good field position. I thought we had 3 really good play calls. We had a drop, we had a bad snap that affected our second down play, and then Johnny was trying to do a little too much on that third down play that we end up giving it back again, a long field, but the killer instinct to me says that that's when you got to really make a team pay for giving us that short field. We just were trying to, at that point, still be efficient what we're doing offensively, but if we could have got it to a three-possession game, which we thought we had opportunities, two possessions in a row, and unfortunately it didn't ultimately come to that. But I just think that that was a key part of the game early on, where if we're going to be really good, and we talked about each week trying to find ways to progress, regardless of the opponent, we got to do a better job right there when it was that 10-0 game to extend that lead, because we had good opportunities to do so.
It takes a whole roster to win a football game. One of the unsung heroes in my mind in that game, Jackson Rucker, backup quarterback, so he's the backup holder, might have been his first time on the field for all I know. I think it was the first field goal where the snap was quite a bit off, and he made a heck of a hold and pulled it down, and you got the three.
Yeah, Jackson's done a great job. Quarterback for us, just a great athlete. He's helped out on other special teams, but he's a baseball player. You see inside, middle infield. He does a really good job with that, and so he's a really good holder. And obviously Johnny being our starting holder when he went out, Jackson stepping in, and we talked about having everyone have that next man up mentality. He's prepared for it and came up with a big hold that ultimately helped us get those 3 points.
So what can you tell us about Johnny Columbia? What happened to him, and how's he doing?
Yeah, he ended up he took a hit, and actually it was not the hit. It was driving into the ground on his thrown shoulder. Did not play the rest of the game and has not been able to do much as of this week. So he's just still a to-be-determined situation. We're planning on moving forward with True as the starter and our other guys ready to go. So it's been a great week. We spent Tuesday, really spent a lot of time looking at depth and competition at every position. So we did mostly Hobart versus Hobart on Tuesday, did a little bit of prep work on our next opponent, but really every week we try to get in and do a deep dive into special teams depth, who can step up, because at this point in the season we have injuries, we have sicknesses, there's going to be a handful of guys who are going to be out again this week, so it's like who's the next guy up and in what ways. And then to make sure that we talked about developing throughout the year, we're truly trying to find ways to improve as a team week to week. Well, we're holding that to every single position group. And to do that, we need to make sure that we're continuing to foster that development, especially for our first years, our sophomores. You know, at this point, guys who've been 3- and 4-year players, they don't need to do as much on Tuesday as much to get a really deep look into, where the rest of the guys are, because if we're going to be the team we want to be and accomplish the goals that we've set for ourselves, we got to make sure we are truly progressing week to week. And as injuries occur, we got to make sure that we have guys ready for that moment. And you just mentioned Jackson Rucker. True Styles had to be ready for his moment when he was called. There's a handful of other examples, but those are the type of young men that need to continue to keep focused on. Everyone wants to be the one, but it's tough to prepare to be the one when you're not. And whether that's at a D-line, a linebacker, a wide receiver, or every other position, we got to make sure guys are focused on doing that, and that's what we do week in and week out.
I'm a big numbers guy, as everybody knows, but stats don't always tell the story. It was a tough day numbers-wise for Johnny, but when the chips were down, he made one of the beautiful passes of the year to Ahmad Crowell. He's got that touch, floats it in there, and he's a big play guy. He's averaging over 20 yards a catch for his Hobart career.
Yeah, and I think that's the deceiving part of it, and I actually just came from the quarterback meeting today, but Johnny had a couple drops, so the numbers don't go into the full part of it, but he made one uncharacteristic mistake for him on the first one. The second one, unfortunately, was the play right after, and neither he nor I knew that his shoulder was injured, or obviously I wouldn't have called what we did. He didn't know until he actually tried to throw the ball, and then obviously it was an errant throw because of his injury. So lo and behold, like I said, the stats are a little deceiving, but he was efficient when he needed to be earlier on, and again, minus a couple of those drops, he was okay. I think the same thing when True came in. True missed a couple throws that he would have wanted back, but he came up with a couple key ones than when he needed it to. So we talked about it. Like, I thought that our quarterback group, that was actually our least efficient game from numbers, but we had a couple key plays in there, but there were definitely some plays we left out there. And I think that's where I say, like, I thought we should have scored more points than we did, not just from the quarterback group, but a couple drops with the receivers. We had a couple breakdowns up front. Those are the things that are still kind of, that thorn in our side right now from an offensive standpoint of, like, we're not fully hitting stride yet. Because I think it's ultimately, as much as we've played really good defenses, it's on our offensive side of the ball. Our execution is just inconsistent at times. And it's not one position, it's not one play. But those are the things, again, we focused on this week. And I can tell you last night at practice, that showed itself again. Because we've had a handful of guys out, now we're playing younger guys. There's a lot of moving parts that go into a well-oiled machine on offense. And when you have younger guys, less experience, it kind of comes into play. So between the O-line, the tight ends, the running backs, the quarterbacks, the receivers, that's going to be the focus for today's practice, is just getting 11 guys on the same page. Because when we have, we've been pretty successful at times offensively. It's just when we haven't, those are the reasons we've been off. And we just talked about, we got to stay on the field to be able to convert, to ultimately be able to score points. And again, as long as we can still continue to play strong special teams and defense, we're going to be in good positions to win games. And whether we score 50 or we score 15, as long as we're efficient, taking care of the ball and not giving our defense a short field to defend, which we've done a pretty good job with the turnovers and the field position part, we're doing things to give us a good, strong chance to win games.
The first interception, you see an interception, you go, oh, no, but my broadcast partners quickly reminded me that wasn't so bad where they got it inside the five. I mean, maybe, you know, the DB might have been better off to bat that down and leave you on fourth down.
Yeah, there was. I think there's two sides of that. I think Johnny, who's done a really good job improvising, and I want our guys to be who they are and have freedom to improvise. I think he had initially, as he relocated in the pocket and he was escaping, he had someone open initially, and I think he should have thrown it initially. He held on it, which then gave time to recover. We were probably in four down territory. So, like, to me, I don't love the interception, because if we get anything, we're coming back and trying to convert on fourth down because we're over the 50 there. That being said, you're right. Like, we pin him inside, so it doesn't hurt you in the big picture. That's why I say that sometimes the stats can be deceiving, because it didn't hurt us on that one. The second interception, the one that obviously the injury kind of played into it, that's the one, and I credit EJ Taylor with a great tackle coming across and making the play so it didn't go worse. But that was one of the few times I can think of all year long that we gave our defense a short field, either because of decision making, turnovers, or special teams plays. And ultimately, that was the drive that they scored on. And I think there was some defensive, you know, we missed a couple things defensively to hold them off on that one. But, you know, we've benefited from short fields. Most offenses are going to have a much higher chance to score if we're giving them those easy starting spots. And I think that was the message there, is I never want our guys to be worried about making mistakes, but we got to be smart with our decisions. And I think that one, obviously, I credit to the injury piece, but I would have never called that if we had known that his arm wasn't able to throw the ball. So, or I would have put Drew in or one of our other quarterbacks in right then. So a life lesson learned there. And you know, I think ultimately that was the biggest thing, where we were probably in much more control. Even though they were having success, they were moving the ball on our defense. It's a 10-0 game. All of a sudden, that 10-7 halftime score felt differently, even though we felt like we had opportunities to make it a 2-3 possession game. If we're going to be a really good offense and a really good team, we got to do a better job extending that lead and not allowing a team to stay with us that close.
Sometimes we don't talk about the O-linemen except when they get holding, so let's talk about the giant hole they blew open for that big E.J. Taylor run that led to points.
Yeah, our offensive line played hard. That was an experienced Ithaca defensive front. They had 8-9 guys that were rotating in, so I thought that was one of the better fronts we saw, including the linebackers. But credit our guys. They were focused. I think the challenge was set last week, and I remember on our Sunday meetings just talking about, we're going to win this game because of our O-line play. I remember looking right at them in the eye, and I challenged them, and I appreciated the fact that they took that as a challenge, not to, you know, take it as a shot against them, but more of a challenge, and they stepped up. We still can perform better. We gave up a couple, protections, some breakdowns, but as a whole, that offensive line group, and we rotated, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys through, did a really good job, opened up some holes for EJ. I thought that running game was crucial. And then obviously with Johnny and True and at the quarterback position, we could have been more efficient in the passing game, but the protection was pretty good most of the time.
Without Johnny, how does the game plan change, if at all, with True Styles at quarterback? Obviously, you have a kind of a package that was designed for his strengths anyway, but overall, is it pretty much the same with him, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think we are. Obviously, what you lose is so much experience. I mean, Johnny, from a preparation standpoint, I've coached quarterbacks for many years. There's not many quarterbacks. I put him in an elite category in terms of his mental wherewithal and his preparation. There's very few things that you're going to do to surprise him in the flow of a game. And he's a quick learner. So if you get him, you know, you show him a look, he's going to be able to adapt on it. You know, True here as a sophomore is still progressing. He's doing well. There's a reason why, like, he was getting minutes even before Johnny got injured. But he's going to be thrown into a limelight where now he's going to have to really, you know, from pass protections, he's still working on that. From reads and read progressions, he's still working on that. So I'd like to say our offense is still the same offense. Now we're facing a different defense this week, so it's going to be a different game plan. He has the benefit of all week long preparing as the number one, so he's getting more reps. And then obviously our number two and number three quarterbacks, and we've evaluated those quarterbacks all the way through because it's pretty close with our young quarterbacks, you know, where those guys are at and what they can bring to the table. So it's been a really good week of just kind of, all right, Johnny's not going to be able to go, but now all of a sudden, if he's not able to go, these other guys got to be ready to step up and prepare. So I don't hope you won't see a huge difference in terms of what we're going to do. I think it's actually Buff State is a really athletic defense. They have 9 returning starters. They do a ton of movement and stuff up front. They'll be as athletic as we see in the back end. So I think this is a different challenge in terms of what they're going to do is different than Ithaca, different than some of the teams we faced beforehand. So regardless if it was Johnny, regardless if it was True or any of the other quarterbacks, I think the game plan will be consistent throughout. But I'm going to try to do as best as possible to make sure that we're doing a little less of moving parts, audibles. So it's going to be more of a refined package versus if we go in with, you know, a full allotment, we're going to cut down the buffet a little bit here for our quarterbacks to make sure that they're confident in what they're doing.
Take us through the final fourth and less than one stop in the third quarter. I mean, it looked like pretty much 22 guys as close to the football as they could be, and who's going to push harder. What's the technique there if you're on defense? Is there anything particular you're trying to do or just shove the nearest guy backwards?
Yeah, I think the thing that we're most proud of is, like, we were giving up about 85, 90 pounds per player when you look at what they did. You know, they had first and goal at the 3. They tried a couple runs. I think they showed that, like, our movement and quickness was getting there. So then in the third down and fourth down, they try to go to the quarterback sneak, the tush push, and doing it that way, which is all just, as you can think of, it's like a rugby scrum. It's like low man wins. And so our D-line playing low, trying to prevent the push of the initial O-lineman, and then linebackers and safeties and DBs flying in over the top. And it's a battle of will. I mean, really what it comes down to is there's some scheme involved, but at the end of the day, it's who wants it more. And I said, if you're giving up 80, 90 pounds per person and not getting pushed back on 2 consecutive plays there from, you know, the 6-inch line, that's pretty impressive. So, like I said, to do it once in the beginning of the game was really impressive. To do it the second time, especially when they're just trying to quarterback sneak it and with a 220-plus type quarterback with guys pushing him in, that's just an impressive, and I think that it comes down to the will, you know, the will, and just say you're going to have to earn every inch against us, and that's what I love about our defense. And it starts again with the defensive front holding up, and then linebackers filling. And honestly, I'm sure Ithaca is probably rethinking some of their decisions, partly because of the outcome. But they thought their guys up front were going to be able to push us. And again, that's a challenge all week long because I think people look at the size of our D-line, the size of our linebackers. We're not the biggest group, but they play tough. They're pound for pound strong, and we're going to play aggressive. And I think, you know, they could have easily scored 14 points in those plays. So you never look back on it. But it didn't happen on Saturday, and those were two, like, significant stops for us.
You're top 10 now in the nation in scoring defense. I think it's 8.5 points a game. We've talked a lot about the guys. Let's talk about Coach Green and what he's made out of this defense. He had 2 D linemen he thought would be back that left for other opportunities. You got a mix of youth and experience in the secondary and a great linebacker group, but he's done a good job with that D.
Yeah, Coach Green has done a fantastic job, and honestly, it goes back to about 2 years ago. Like, when we lost some of our big, stout noses, you know, you think of Isaiah Boones and Naj Johnson back-to-back years. Last year was Caleb Pulver. You know, we had to reinvent ourselves a little bit because, you know, we've got some strong guys up front, but we don't have those 300-plus noses. So they're tough to recruit, those high academic, high character guys that can play in our defense. So we're looking for guys that can then move. And I think we knew coming in that we thought if we're healthy, our linebacker crew, we have 5 guys, you know, 4 seniors, and then Mike McGee is a junior that have a ton of experience, that they were going to be the focal part of our defense. There were some questions at the D-line. You know, we talked a lot last week a little bit about Dylan Williams-Molitor moving over and his role, Dante Randall stepping up his role, and, you know, you got Donwan McGee. You got a handful of guys that are doing some really good things there. Nick Provenzano and Hunter Voss have been doing really well. I mean, Bill Brosco was the tough loss because he was an instant impact guy that, you know, his significance has been missing right now. But we've had other guys step up, and even this week we're trying to figure out, like, you know, we don't have a ton of depth at the D-line right now, but the guys that are playing are doing really, really well. I think our linebacker crew, they're playing hard, and they're going to have to be our playmakers, continue to do that on defense. And then I think you talked about Chris Toomba earlier, but, like, you know, Alex Smith and Zach Ambielli and Zeeshan Dixon, like the guys who have been getting most of the lion's share. We've been fortunate, knock on wood, that we've been relatively healthy, minus Bill Brosco and a couple guys. But the effort alone and the fact that there's experience in a lot of positions, Coach Green, Coach Schaefer, Coach Lease, and Coach Leak have done a really, really good job, the four of them together, and then obviously Coach Green coordinating it, putting those guys in the best positions possible, mixing and matching. They're doing a lot of different things. And that being said, they haven't been able to give up many big plays. And I think that's the key. We had a couple of breakdowns on Saturday. Fortunately, Ithaca wasn't able to exploit on those. So we still have a ton to clean up. And that was the message on Sunday to the team is, yes, we enjoy the win, but we got to get back to work because there's certain things that offensively and defensively we've done that we need to clean up because they haven't been exploited by our opponents the last couple of weeks. And eventually you don't want to get to the point where a team can do that. So they've been tasked at it, and we quickly got past the win and put our focus on what I think is going to be a really tough game at Buffalo State this week.
Your top two interceptors are backup DBs. Corey Rock had the two-pick game against Keystone, and then Ryan Van Tassel's just been making big plays and made a big play at the end to seal it.
Yeah, I think that's a combination of, again, some of the packaging-wise that Coach Green's done a really good job with the DBs, putting them in the right positions. We like our young talent. They're still trying to figure out, you know, to be every-down players, but both Ryan Van Tassel, who's made a really big impact on special teams, and then Corey Rock with the strong performance against Keystone. Those two guys are pulling away in terms of some younger guys that are getting more and more minutes, and then gives us a little bit more depth to be able to rotate, because early on, that was the challenge, is our defensive backs. We didn't have the depth to be able to rotate a ton of guys based on what we graduated last year. And hopefully these younger guys, and that was the focus how we started about like Tuesday's practice, was just to continue evaluating the younger guys, developing them, pushing them. I hope they understand the importance of just keeping the focus on getting better week to week.
Now, this Buffalo State team has kind of flipped the script. The last couple of years, they were getting pretty good offensively, but not great defensively. This year, their defense has improved and is pretty strong. The offense is still struggling a little bit, and they turn it over a bit. So what do you see out of the Bengals this week?
Yeah, I think it's different. They opened the season against Brockport in a game that Brockport's big and was able to lean on them, but they actually the defense got up and got some key stops. Their offense struggled in that game. Then they turned around and they won back-to-back games, beat Hilbert pretty convincingly and then beat Alfred State in a really defensive-minded game. Last week's tough to really look at because they played a Division I team. You know, I credit Coach and their staff kind of going out and playing a good challenging Division I team. The score got away from them, but they played them hard. So it's tough to kind of gauge that. So I think they're 2-1 against Division III teams. I think what we saw from them is they're going to compete. I agree. I think their defense right now is experienced. When they're healthy, they have 9 returning starters on defense. A lot of those guys played last year as freshmen, sophomores, and some juniors. So they got a good mix back. I think, and my eye's been more on their defense, they've done a really, really good job in terms of they're multiple in what they do, but they're always in the right spot. They're not going to give up a ton of big plays unless you either make them miss of the tackle or beat them over the top. But they're aggressive. They're athletic. Like I said, from a secondary standpoint, they're about as athletic as we're going to face. And then up front, they're moving. So there's going to be a lot of create. They're getting some tackles for loss and just drive killers up front. And kind of like our defense, their linebacker core is the strength of their defense. I think they have some really good guys that can run and move there. On offense, they're big. They're going to lean on the run game a little bit. They're much more of a running team than a passing team. Whether it's coincidental or not, that the quarterback play, they've come up with a couple turnovers at times that have kind of prevented them from scoring, but they're moving the ball on almost everyone they play.
Now, they've had some quarterback injuries. You think we're going to see the number two quarterback, Noah Kimball, the junior?
I believe. We saw the starter last year against us. He performed well. It looked like in the most recent game that he didn't finish the game. He took a hit that I hope he's okay. We haven't seen an accurate 2-deep yet, so we're not sure we're going to be ready for either one of them. They've done some wildcat where they're going to snap to the running back, so we're ready for 2 or 3 different people to be in the backfield there. But, yeah, from a preparation standpoint, we're not sure what we're going to get, so we're ready for either of the quarterbacks. And, you know, again, you never want injuries out. Obviously, we would love to have our starting quarterback ready to go. We would love their starting quarterback to be ready to go. But we'll kind of see on Saturday when we're out there who's stepping in and who's going to be the starting quarterback.
Kids know who they're playing, and they know what the records are, and they know that this is a game that Hobart is, quote-unquote, supposed to win. Do you have to say anything about that to your guys, or do they just grind it?
If you have the right culture, you don't need to. But I said it anyways. On Sunday, I got their attention really quickly and said, because I think if you really watch the film, and I say, look at it from a really honest lens, you know, after the game, you know, typically, whether you win or lose, it's never as good as you think or never as bad as you think. Like, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. The answer is it's somewhere in between. We won that game against Ithaca in a somewhat convincing fashion, but, like, it could be unconvincing if we don't get the fourth down stands and if we don't execute on a couple things or if they are able to exploit some of the mistakes that we made. And I said the same thing, like, we've been on that. I mean, you go back to week one against Elford. Like, our record is good. We're a strong team. I don't even think we've come close to reaching our potential yet, and I've challenged them on that. We have to get better, and that's where I say to me, this is not about Buff State, just like last week was not about Ithaca. And that's no disrespect to any of the teams that we play. We really put the focus internally, and that's what this week's been about. And we have a lot to clean up. You know, again, between injuries and some guys that aren't going to play this week, we're going to need new guys stepping up. There's a new opportunity to make sure that we're on point. I think defensively we're playing well, but we had some things where we had guys, you know, miss coverages, miss. I mean, I'm talking about just missing tackles. Like, we had guys in the wrong spot. That if we're going to be a great defense, you can't do that. Our scoring defense has looked really good, but we're giving up some points, giving up some yards that could equal points if we don't correct that. And that's the focus for Coach Green and the staff, and just overall for our entire defense is we're playing hard. We can play better, and where can we clean that up? Offensively, you talked about the offensive line. They've been playing hard. It was a really good matchup against Ithaca, but we can play better. We missed some things last night. We missed day one protection type stuff as we're playing some younger guys. So we have a lot of things to clean up. And then, again, we're not consistent enough on all three phases, in my opinion, to just roll out the footballs and say the game's over. So we have to go earn it. And you go on the road. Buff State is typically a place where you're going to get wind and variables because they're coming off of the lake there. They play hard. They're going to play aggressive. I think their defense is good. You're going against a non-starting quarterback on our end. Like, you know, we scored 6 points when our starting quarterback was out. Like, that's not going to win many games. So we have a lot of things that we need to put the focus on. And I just wanted them to give the due respect they need to every single opponent, regardless of what's perceived as a big game. As I told you last week, we didn't need a pregame speech for Ithaca. All right. If our culture is what I want it to be, we don't need a pregame speech for any opponent because we're going to give them the due respect, but it's about us and taking care of what we can control. We say it all the time, control our controllables, and if we can do that, then we're going to go compete at our best, and we don't need to play perfect, but we're going to put it together and find a way to hopefully to come off the field victorious.
Week one in the Liberty League, you win. Ithaca loses. Union loses. RPI loses. You want anything else for Christmas?
I want to just focus on staying healthy and getting better this week. If you can do that, Ted, I'll be a happy man.
All right. This is the Hobart Football Podcast, episode 40. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And, of course, get all your information on Hobart William Smith Athletics at hwsathletics.com. We've been talking with the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Hobart at Buffalo State, 3:00 kickoff Saturday on WEOS. So we'll see you in Buffalo.
Thanks, Ted. We'll see you there.